Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 30th of March, recording at 8:08 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, first I want to thank you for all the emails that keep flooding in, and I do try to read them all. Now, I do notice that there's quite a controversy that takes place. I mean, fortunately, most subscribers tend to like the new service, and some are very enthusiastic about it, and they like the trading information and so on. But then there are also others who are, well, they're worried that I'm talking too much about short-term things, and that the long-term view, which they say they valued so much in the hard copy editions, is being shunted aside with all this emphasis on the short term. Well, now I know in this business that I can't please everyone, but yet I aim to please. And I just want to say on this that I will cover the long term, and indeed my whole approach to markets works from very much from a top-down level. I take a big macro view in terms of the asset classes, where are we in terms of secular trends, and do I actually want to be in this particular area or not? And if not, why not, and so on. And then I gradually distill all that down to if I like an area, if I feel there are opportunities, long or short, then I do start to single out the individual specific recommendations. Now, you hear a lot more about those because previously, if you wanted to hear about them, you usually had to wait until the end of the month when I would produce the Fuller Money copy, and then I would list my positions in those strategy sessions that I had. Here, I'm able to do it on a daily basis, and most people do like that. But, of course, those of you who want the emphasis on the long term, there is the Friday audio, which is very much dedicated to the long term, and I also put things very often in a long term context on the day-to-day comments as well. But, inevitably, there are going to be more shorter term comments than longer term comments, because I can't go on saying every single day that it's a secular bear market on Wall Street, I believe, or that I think that the secular bull market in bonds ended last June. I mean, I say it plenty. I will keep repeating these points just to put things in perspective. But I trust you get the point. And so for those who like the long-term perspective, I mean, they include me, and I would be lost without trying to develop my long-term perspective. And I also supplement that with a lot of reports that I think are interesting or at least controversial that I wind up putting on the site and logging in the forum. And again, the forum interest that you've shown is terrific, and I think it's all in line with our empowerment through knowledge theme. Okay, what's going on in here right now? Well, I'll start with stock markets, and you know I've been talking about the short-term oversold condition. We've had this big setback, a far bigger setback than we've seen since markets bottomed in March 2003. And we then had that wonderful rally with the higher highs and higher lows, the uninterrupted progression of rising lows for most indices until we got into, well, they started to deteriorate in February and then in March, and we've seen a much bigger shakeout than had occurred previously. Now, that really increased, well, it emphasized, it hammered home the fact that the risks had increased. Because once you have an uptrend and it's clearly established, well, you can just extrapolate that uptrend as long as it's consistent. We're in a new ball game, as they say, when that uptrend is broken, because we don't know whether it's going to go on in reverse or whether we're going to get just a bigger correction and then retest the highs or maybe resume the earlier upward trend. Well, my view, and I want to take it a step at a time, is that first we're quite oversold and the market has begun to improve. You know, I've been saying that, and I talked about this upward dynamics that we saw last week, I think it was in the middle of last week, on the NASDAQ. And that's remained very steady, or it's extended that rally overall. We had Japan's performance, one of the positions that I picked up, which has remained very steady. And the most of the evidence that I see suggests that we're at least in a technical rally phase. Now, how far is it going to go? Well, nobody knows the answer to that, and we can only make a guess. And the guess is very much a guess. I'm not hedging my bets on it. You know me better than that if you've been listening for quite a long time. But it's so much easier to forecast within the trend, as Chris Roberts had said in that last report of his. It's much more difficult out of the trend. That's why I place the emphasis on the recent reaction lows. I'm saying that these indices have now bottomed for at least the short term, and I won't have to revise that view unless we see some of the leading indices, by that I mean the bigger indices. We won't have to revise that view, or I won't have to revise it, unless the lows that we saw last week are taken out. And that hasn't happened so far. And in the meantime, we monitor the progress on the upside, looking for lead indicators. Japan is one of them. And that amazing Tokyo Second Section Index is up 23 out of the last 24 days. It's really quite extraordinary, and that's tempted me to stay long my Nikkei position rather than grabbing short-term profit. It's also made me more relaxed about some of my other Japan positions, and I'm spread across. I've got long-term positions and my self-administered pension funds, and that's mostly where my Japan positions are. As a matter of fact, that's entirely where my Japan positions are in the pension fund. But I'm relaxed about some of the individual share positions there at this stage, given that strong performance, despite this being a riskier environment overall. Now, what did we get today in terms of confirmation one way or another? Well, one of the stronger markets had been Malaysia had shown quite good relative strength recently. Now it had a little bit of a consolidation, but it's given up so little ground. So I put that very much in the plus column as well. But I do focus on some of those prior earlier leaders, and specifically Thailand and also India. And they haven't done as well in here. Now they may improve. Before long, I'm hoping so because I still have long positions there, as you know, although greatly reduced in Thailand. But I did mention India in the context of that excellent, witty, relevant piece by Bill Bonner. And I'm just going to mention the charts here because India is a market that I expect to be involved in for a very, very long time. But when you go to the website, if you haven't already seen the website, and you bring up that weekly chart of the Indian Sensex Index, you'll notice that after that rivetingly consistent uptrend it carried early into this year, well, it peaked in January, and you'll remember me fussing about this ever since we had a downside key day reversal in the Indian Sensex Index in the middle of January. And that top occurred right back where the 2000 top was. You can see that on the weekly chart as well. And looking at that weekly chart, I certainly can't say that we've had an all clear signal. In other words, clear evidence that we've seen the actual lows. So this is a worry in here. It hasn't been enough of a worry for me to chop my remaining my position in this market, which I've held pretty much since last May. Held pretty much. I started buying it in May and had mostly completed it by the early summer. Now, the daily chart of the Sensex Index, and you'll notice that that had broken underneath the reaction lows in January and February, went down for a few days, but it didn't fall sharply, and then it's rounded it around and pushed back up. But it hasn't done so with a sufficient dynamic to indicate a clear downside failure, and we still have the three lower highs on that chart. So there's still plenty of question marks on this, and it's more dangerous than encouraging. Overall, well, depends how you look at it. For instance, I'm looking at the daily chart, and you look at the speed with which it has descended since that high in January, and the speed with which it got up to that level, and has come down much more slowly. So that's usually a favorable indication. Now, I then have that J.P. Morgan Fleming Indian Trust. That's the way I have played it. That's the sole way I have played India. I wish they'd had future contracts on this, but they don't. And I'm not willing to buy those ADRs or GDRs, I think they're called, which sell at huge, huge premiums. So I played this through the investment trusts, and I know that a number of subscribers, particularly last year, had picked up iShares and closed-end funds that were listed in the U.S. because they said that, particularly if they couldn't buy the U.K. quoted fund that that I actually have. But you can get a good idea of that performance and why I'm not reaching for panic buttons yet on India, aside from the fact that I suspect that stock markets are going to rally back up and range around here for a while. I'm not looking for a big plunge this year, or not yet, at least not yet this year. And overall, I think the danger period, as you know, is in for these stock markets is going to be more 2005, 2006, although they may start to head down in advance. We'll just have to see. But point is, I don't think this is the big one in terms of the beginning of the decline. And I know we've had excellent people like Richard Russell talking about the Dow theory, sell signals, and so on. But I think we're going to range around here for a while, and that some indices will push up into new high ground. Will it be India or not? That's a big don't know, obviously. But it could be. But this J.P. Morgan Indian Trust, again, that had a peak back where it had peaked in 2000, but it's held up a little bit better than the index overall, and this is sterling quoted. And then on the daily chart of that, you can see that it got down to, in this month, it got down to the January and early February lows and has bounced quite well recently. And that's still selling at a 6.25% discount, so it's not just due to net asset value. Okay, but India, I think its potential is outstanding, as I've said so many times. I think the potential on the very long-term basis, I think India's long-term potential is greater than that of China, actually, or at least as good. So I suspect I'll be interested in India off and on and more on than not for many, many years yet, assuming I live that long, of course. But I will run for cover if I think these markets are entering a major slide led by Wall Street or under Wall Street's influence. Okay, what's happened elsewhere here today? Mixed performance in the European markets. Well, mixed to negative. FTSE was up a little bit, but only 6 points. Most of them are on the downside, but small losses overall. Wall Street, on the other hand, has been mostly on the downside, but it's near the highs of the day here. Up 21 on the Dow, 1.3 on the S&P, and only down 2 on the NASDAQ composite. So that's not a bad performance overall. On the heels of yesterday's action. Okay, now running on here, let's see. Currencies. Now, it was looking quite promising here today on a couple of my recent trades. You know, I opened that position in, and I forgot to mention that I picked up the position in the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, so I'm going to drop back to that here, but I've explained that on the website overall, and you've got those two charts, so I don't need to mention any more about that. On the currencies, I picked up or I shorted the futures contract, shorted the dollar against the Japanese yen, and that was improving earlier today. We saw the dollar push up to 106.21, but it's eased back. It's still up a tiny bit on the day, but 105.61. Best we can say is it's lost some downward momentum here, and I really will require the return of the intervention, I think, to make money on this trade. Ditto the euro yen, where I'm underwater here still. Not a great deal, but it's up up half a yen in here today, nearly 128.74, but it had been up to 129.82. That was looking quite positive, but it slipped back. But still more ranging in these currency markets, and you can see why I'm not willing to establish big positions. These are still very tricky. Most markets are very tricky. I've just emphasized there are times when it's quite easy to make money at an acceptable risk, and there are other times when it's quite difficult. When it's quite difficult, I either pull out, as I do from time to time, or just greatly reduce activity, or I cut back on the size of the positions that I do actually take. And this is one of those times where it's difficult, so I'm doing less, and the positions that I have are generally much smaller than number of positions I was establishing earlier on. Now, euro dollar, that's interesting because we did have the euro break down against the dollar. I think that was yesterday. And it's in the morning, and but it's didn't maintain it. It's pushed upwards, but it hasn't pushed upwards with any kind of upward dynamic. Currently at 121.91 in here. I still can't say that this correction is over that we've seen for the euro. But there's, as you know, on the charts which I posted from time to time, there's quite a bit of support near that 120 level. In terms of the metals, this has been an interesting day in here. Not on my palladium, and that had pushed up to 93 and a 293 and a half, and I thought, oh, that looks good. We're going to run on this. It was just right up on the higher side of the range. Apparently, somebody's got a sell order up there. It's probably due to all those bearish reports you keep sending me, Thomas. And Daniel. I'm only joking, of course. I appreciate all the reports that are coming in. It's all part of the empowerment through knowledge. And so keep sending them. That was very much a tongue-in-cheek comment. You see the twinkle in my eye if we had video, heaven forfend. Okay. Palladium closed up 20 cents at 289.10. But gold had a good day in here, up 4, 421.85. Silver, an even better day. This is looks rock steady. Silver might run again. It's in a very tight little pattern here, and it's lost the volatility that we had seen earlier on, which has indicated much less supply relative to the demand. And it's also trading at a small backwardation, as several of you have pointed out in the last week or so. Now, that hasn't happened in silver for good grief. It must be over 20 years, and maybe a good deal longer than that. In other related metals, palladium, which has been, beg your pardon, I've covered that. Platinum has been taking a bit of a breather recently, but steady overall. But it's silver that's currently showing the best relative strength, although the palladium is pretty good also. And on my LME positions, well, copper was down today, so they're still consolidating, nickel still consolidating. It's just that tin that's really up another $70 in here today, very, very steady. So the supply inelasticity theme remains very, very important, and it's not just the US dollar, as you're probably aware in having monitored these performances. Now, running through some of the last of these here in terms of grains. Well, you know, I did a stupid thing with my corn position when I got stopped out of that, because when I looked at the chart, I had just jammed the stop up too much. I've been too nervous, and in these discussions and debates that we've had, and people keep writing about stops, saying, "How do you play stops? Where do you put them?" And I say, "Use a technical stop." And in other words, if you're dealing with an uptrend, what are the recent reactions that we've seen? And that represents the normal correction in the eyes of investors and traders, and take that distance plus a little bit more, so that if we get, and use that as the magnitude of your trailing stop, so that if we get another typical correction, as in other words, very similar to what they've seen before, not too many people will panic, and you won't get shaken out. But if it's a bigger correction, then you will come out. Well, I teach that, but I didn't do it because I was twitchy, and I'll tell you that sometimes if I'm nervous about things, I may well jam them up and move stops into an in-the-money position so that at least I have a free ride, but that obviously greatly increases the risk that I'm going to get stopped out, and that's exactly what happened on the corn position. It had a typical normal kind of pull back. It didn't look any worse than anything else, and here it is up 7.25 cents, still trading on the delayed time feed as I watch it, 312.25 for the May corn. And one of those interesting reports that I had up today actually was advising people to come in and buy the corn following that little setback. And I think that's John Schofield, I can't remember. I don't want to get that wrong publicly. So I was right, John Schofield, who sent me his report. And now, soybeans, where I do still have the long position, not up as much, but I think that's still the better position overall. But it's up 4 in here, 10.17. And that, interestingly, has had another typical consolidation, in the sense that it's pulled back. The pullback that we've just seen is very similar to the size of the other pullbacks that we've seen in recent months with soybeans. If I weren't sort of generally twitchy about the overall environment in here, I'd probably increase my soybeans position in this range after this pullback, but I've resisted the temptation to do that in here today. And oil, that's much steadier in here today, up 93 cents on the spot. And I'll just check that July position, which I hold. I hadn't looked at that in here earlier today, and that's matched the move. So coming up 34.95, I'm still a dollar out on that because I didn't purchase it very well overall. So in terms of trading activity in here, well, I've said it all before, it's tricky, so I'll sign off here. You people have a splendid evening.